Welcome to the frontier of the metaverse, where we learn from high-quality entrepreneurs, artists, and changemakers shaping the future of the metaverse. Here we discuss how to level up, how to get started, and how to get ahead of the opportunity. I'm your host, Howard Kingston.
This episode is with Liam D, a successful NFT trader. Now, there's a whole community of people out there trading NFTs for a living, and I wanted to invite one of those traders onto the show to see a little bit into their world and what kind of strategies are they using to trade NFTs full-time. Liam is a very smart trader who can spot trends early. In this episode, we talk about a couple of things. One, how he decides which NFT projects to invest in. Two, what tools he uses. And lastly, what communities he's part of to get the best information early. Now, this episode is definitely not financial advice, so make sure you do your own research, but I know it's very practical and I think you'll get a lot out of it. With that, let's get to the show. Liam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'd love to know what got you hooked into this wonderful world of Web3.
There was a few things, really. I think the main guy was Alex Becker. So if anyone knows who Alex Becker is, he's a bit of an outspoken man on YouTube and Twitter. But I actually knew him kind of prior to those Cardano joke days, dunking on grandma days. I was in a business mastermind with him. And for people who don't know what business masterminds are, they essentially are alpha groups, but they were usually done on Facebook instead of Discord. And instead of like paying for a token to be in this alpha group, and then if you had enough, you can sell the token on OpenSea, you usually had to pay like a lump sum or a monthly sum to be inside the private group. And if you had enough, then you didn't get any of that money back. You just had to leave. And that was kind of one of the things is he was talking about these like pictures that he was selling as NFTs and inside of this group. It was his group actually, and I was part of his mastermind. And yeah, that definitely sparked my interest, but I kind of dismissed it a little bit because I thought that's not what I'm here to concentrate on. And he was kind of talking about it offhand, like he wasn't shilling them in any way. He was just kind of showing us how ridiculous this whole stuff is.
Do you remember the name of the mastermind?
Iron, it was called. Are you familiar with it?
I'm familiar with Alex Becker, so I'm probably similar to you. I actually knew about Alex Becker from Hyros.
Yeah, that's right. That's his software company, right?
Yeah, it's tracking software, right? So similar to you, actually, I would say I knew of Alex and he's got a Facebook group as well and I'm in the Facebook group, etc.
Yeah, I think I'm in that Hyros group as well. This is before the Hyros days, I think. But I kind of ignored it. That was the thing about all of this is like I just ignored it for like 6 to 12 months, which I regret immensely. But I think it was actually Kevin Rose starting his podcast, I think in August 2021, and then Gary Vee as well. And then there was someone else, I can't remember off the top of my head, there was someone who I respected a lot in the Web2 industry that kind of just packed up everything and was just going all in on Web3. And I was like, okay, there's all of these guys have just gone all in on this stuff. Maybe I should do some due diligence and just figure out what this stuff is. I think Gary Vee said, like, take a week and just learn and read as much as you can. And so I took that advice on board, and I think it was night number two, and I'd spent like 4 or 5 hours just delving deep into NFTs and Web3, and yeah, I was completely hooked. I was evangelical, born again, Web3 maxi within 2 days of research.
You know, it's really funny how closely aligned your entry point to this world is with mine. Likewise, Kevin Rose would be a big one. Gary Vee would be a big one that kind of brought me into it. But I do specifically remember the moment I knew Alex Becker. He has a tracking software and I'm a digital marketer. I know that's your background as well. And I remember at one point I was on Twitter
And this guy, Alex Becker, was on Twitter, who was clearly like a Web3 NFT guy. And I was like, is this the same guy?
It can't be the same guy, right?
Yeah, it can't be the same guy because he doesn't use a picture of himself. He uses an NFT as his Twitter profile. But it's just so interesting, isn't it? It gives you confidence that the people that you followed for years that you probably think, well, certainly I think that is smarter than me, are going into a journey.
That was the thing. It was like, these guys are quite intelligent. And I think because I knew that they'd achieved a relative amount of success as well. And so, you know, for them to turn their back on that success to go into something new, I'm like, well, they're not just some scrubs off the street that are walking away from zero. You know, they were walking away from some big things. And so I was like, okay, I've got to research and figure it out myself. But that was one of the things that really like hooked me, because when if you're a digital marketer, you understand the concept of these paid mastermind groups are really common in the digital marketing world. And so the idea of tokenizing these and having them on the open market, it just blew my mind. I was like, this is going to revolutionize that entire industry. And I don't have the figures for how big that business mastermind industry is, but I assume it's in the tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, like that industry across all niches. From my perspective, like, why would you ever join another one that isn't tokenized? I feel like it's going to become the norm. And so if that $100 million industry is going to eventually have to be forced to be adopted into this NFT Web3 ecosystem, what else will we kind of forced to? That was a big aha moment for me.
You know, my understanding of what you're saying there is when you say tokenize, it means you can buy membership to these masterminds, enjoy the benefits, and then at any point, if you want to leave, you can then sell it on potentially for even, who knows, it might be speculation, sometimes for profit, not guaranteed for profit, but isn't that so cool?
It is. And I've gotten so much out of these groups throughout my business career. Like, it's kind of wild to say this, but I have spent over six figures joining these different kinds of groups over the last decade or so of me doing this stuff, knowing that I would never get a cent of that back. And so I think people that aren't from that world kind of look at you like, it's like you're crazy, but it makes so much sense when you're in that world, because you do actually get value from being in that kind of network and learning from those people. And there is return on investment in that sense. I would probably spend 10 times the amount if they're all tokens, right? Because the ability to on-sell them afterwards just takes out so much of the risk and yeah, creates really interesting dynamics. So we still haven't seen it yet. I thought it would be done by now. Like, I'm pretty much bang on a year since I jumped into Web3, October last year. And I thought within like 3-6 months, like, yeah, that entire digital marketing industry would have been overrun by these tokenized memberships, and still nothing. So it's interesting. We're still early.
People are making so much money the old way. Maybe we can explore that. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Liam, was we're in a couple of the Discord groups. I wanted to get someone who's really good at the trading stuff on. I think it was the Zen Academy group. We're both in it. I think it's a really nice group, very supportive people. And I've just asked the question, who's some of the best traders out there? And your name was suggested, right? So, which is super cool.
Which is so funny, because I joined the Zen Academy group when I first started, and I was by far the worst trader in that group when I started, like, and I still consider myself nowhere near like the top. Like, there's some incredibly smart traders and very profitable traders out there. But yeah, that is humbling.
Could you talk a little bit about, you know, there's some people out there that are on the outside of this NFT world. Do you remember the first purchase that you made that really had the biggest dopamine rush? I remember thinking back to the day that I minted two Moonbirds, right? It definitely had a full body experience for a few days. Most people, I think, get hooked in at some point. Do you remember what that moment was for you on your journey?
There's a couple of moments. Like, one was my first sale over one Ethereum or one ETH. Actually, it was just under one. I think it was 0.99 I sold, and it was a free mint. And so to make that kind of money from selling, it was a bit of artwork. That was a really big pivotal moment for me, out of body experience.
Amazing. So just to bring that into kind of USD figures, you got it for free, a little bit of gas, of course, transaction costs. And then at the time, it was about one ETH, which in US dollars was about...
I vividly remember it was over 5,000 Australian dollars. So it must have been 4,000 USD. So it would have been close to the top.
And you told your wife about it?
Yeah, I came out and showed her that, because you get that little OpenSea email saying, congratulations, your item is sold. And I, came out and showed her. Oh, I think I sent her a screenshot and just was like, this just happened. So that was a pretty pivotal moment. That was definitely the first big win, but I think it was my very first profitable sale. That was the thing that really got me hooked. And it was actually in NFT World, which was also a free mint, which was also in the Zen Academy. Actually, that was a out-of-body experience again of like this massive gas war. I was just not familiar with gas wars at all at the time. And yeah, ended up paying a ridiculous amount for something that I thought was free. In US dollar terms, I think I paid over $2,000 in gas just to mint this free NFT. And I was a bit freaked out, but the community in Zen Academy kind of really helped me out. I had one guy in particular that, you know, reassured me that it's all right. It's a good project. You know, someone will buy it. And sure enough, someone bought it within 24 hours, I think. And yeah, I made like a tiny profit on it. And that was the moment for me. I think everyone has a similar moment where someone somewhere on the other side of the world has just sent like real money, even though it's cryptocurrency, real money to me in exchange for this digital image. It's just a really mind-blowing moment that someone would do that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like that's, and then obviously when you stay in the scene much longer, it kind of makes more sense. But that was a really pivotal moment. That was the moment that was like, this is legit. Ironically, if you understand anything about NFTs and NFT worlds, like that project went on to have a ridiculously high floor price. I actually had a rare one as well. I sold quite a rare one. So by not holding onto it and selling it and freaking out because it was my first kind of flip, I essentially lost 20 ETH, which is quite a bit, close to 100 grand really if I held onto it. So that's quite a funny story, part of my journey.
Absolutely. So I'm piecing together, there's these couple of wins that you're getting. How did that then give you the confidence and how did it develop into more being an active trader? So you would be what I would believe to be more of an active trader, like trading things, you know, a couple of things every week. And I've heard you discuss about wanting to trade your way up to a million. Is it a million ETH or $1 million? I'm not actually quite sure which one it was.
I never started with that, right? When I first entered NFTs, I thought, if I could just make $10,000 in a year from investing and collecting these digital collectibles, that would be amazing. That would just blow my mind because I started with 0.6 ETH and that was like the number that my wife and I agreed upon. That was the amount that we were willing to lose. I guess that's the term that gets used a lot. And by willing to lose, like we didn't want to lose it. It's just that it was money that we knew there was a high likelihood that it could all be gone very quickly because we had no idea how, you know, this world operated. And so we knew that once that was gone, we wouldn't put any more in. Like it was money that we could afford to lose and just it was experimental. And yeah, when I first started trading, that 0.6 ETH quickly went down to nearly zero ETH. And I was having so much fun with NFTs, but I was just making so many rookie mistakes. Like I got scammed in a Discord and like from a scammer DM and like really typical things or like minted a rug. I was like exit liquidity for so many people because I was buying stuff that had already pumped, like all these rookie things that I've learned now. But yeah, very quickly, like I was basically down to my last little bit of bankroll. And that's when I thought, okay, I really need to figure this out because I'm really enjoying this, even though I'm losing all my money. But I want to stay in it. And my wife and I agreed that if we lost all the money, we wouldn't go back in and we wouldn't do more. So I wanted to honor that. And yeah, I guess that's when I did what I did with my web too. I was just like, okay, there's got to be community groups out there that are help each other and make each other better. And coming across Zeneca, he had a one ETH challenge section in his Discord, which he would start with one ETH and he wanted to see how far he could get flipping his way up to a CryptoPunk just as like an experiment. And he would post every day and just talk about the trades he made and why he made them. And I honestly just blew my mind. And it really made me motivated to learn his ways, like how it was such a skill set. Like I'm a competitive guy. I just thought, this is my jam. I want to learn how to do this. And so I just joined as many groups as I could. I just tried to find as many smart people that I could and just tried to model them and model what they were doing. And yeah, before long, I started making some decent profits. And that's when I think when I first hit my first six figures, when I hit 100K in profits, someone said to me, you started at least like less than 1/8 and you've made 100 grand. And I was like, yeah, isn't that what like everyone's been doing? Like I was with like Sneaky Ninja Pants, who's known for making, I think he's made like over 1,500 ETH in his time.
I have not heard of Sneaky Ninja. Is that name Sneaky Ninja Pants? What a name. I have not heard of him.
Yeah, Sneaky Ninja Pants. Everyone knows he's like a very reputable trader in the industry.
Okay.
Yeah, someone said to me, oh, like it'd be amazing if you hit like $1 million from that initial investment and you didn't put any more money. And I was like, yeah, that's a pretty cool challenge. So let's do it. And so, yeah, that's what essentially I've been doing. But I actually ruined the challenge. Like for the other side mint, like I put a little bit more money in to make sure I could mint that. And then I realized after I was like, oh, I completely ruined my challenge. Like my whole point was to start with, you know, 0.6 and like get to $1 million without putting any more money in. And I just completely forgot about that. So it's kind of ruined, but I haven't put that much money in. I still think that if I make it to $1 million, I think it'll still be a pretty cool achievement.
And I think for a lot of people listening, getting from that almost zero or 0.6, wherever you started, to the 100K is quite a significant amount of money for most people. What are some of the lessons that you learned to get from 0.6 to that first 100K? Are there maybe one or two things that you did that you thought worked?
When I had such a little amount, I couldn't afford to lose, really. And so I had to be really patient, really have a lot of discipline. I banned myself from buying on secondary for a long time there, because when you're minting, especially if you're minting for free, you pay a little bit of gas, of course, if you're on the ETH network, but it's very hard to lose a lot of money when you mint for free. Most you can lose is like the gas lost. You know, that was significant. Sometimes you're paying $100 to $200 in gas. Nowadays, sometimes you're paying $1 to $3 in gas. So it's very different, but even more reason to do it nowadays. Whereas if you're buying on secondary, you know, you can purchase an NFT for $1,000. It's very likely that same NFT could be worth $5 within a month. Whereas that just wasn't possible with kind of minting and flipping on secondary that way. So that was like one of the key kind of principles I stuck to. And it takes a lot of discipline and patience to do that. And I missed out on a lot of things that I wanted to get in on. Like I wanted to get in on Doodles and Mizuki and all these kind of more famous NFTs if you're into the scene. And it was hard to sit there and watch them go up when I wanted to invest, but I just knew that I was just too risky for what I wanted to achieve.
Can I just zoom in on that just so I can understand it? So one of the key things that you focused on was not buying on secondary after they had launched. So buying on something like OpenSea, for example, one of the biggest secondary markets. Rather, you would focus on when a project is launching at mint, and you would focus particularly on ones that were either free or a low cost. Have I understood that right?
Basically, yeah. It was just to minimize risk. And so only going in on things that had low risk and then medium to high reward.
I have not explored the free mint area very much. There seems to be a ton of stuff out there. With so many free mints, could you talk about how you like pick the needles out of the haystack there?
I mean, the simple answer is you don't. If you saw like the hidden section of my wallets, it is a graveyard of rugs, scams, stolen art. But as I said, like they're free, you're paying in gas. So there is a cost and that cost does add up, but it is minimal.
So it'd be a bit of like portfolio theory, as in spread, you're going to get a couple of wins. Is it a little bit of that? If there was like 10 free mints coming up, would you do all of them? Or
sometimes there's like 20 to 50 free mints a day. So you can't physically mint them all. Over time, you begin to kind of intuitively know what the market might appreciate. That's something that I realized early on was like, well, if this was to go up in value, there needs to be someone somewhere on the planet that sees this on secondary and goes, I like the look of this. I think this is a good investment. And so if you're looking at it at mint when it's free and you don't even know if it's going to be a good investment, what are the chances of it being on secondary for like 10 times the price and someone saying, yeah, I think this is going to be good. If you can say and look at a project during mint, and oftentimes when these stealth launches don't happen as much anymore, but a lot of the free mints used to be stealth and you didn't have that much time to react. And so you had to make decisions quite quickly. And so it's kind of like a mental kind of acrobatic checklist that subconsciously you go through. It's not very conscious, but you're looking at the art quality. You're looking kind of like how competent is the website put together? Like if it's an absolute mess, then what does that say about the team? You know, whereas if it's really well done, maybe the team is a lot more confident. And then you realize, and like Goblin Town was a classic example of this. Like, it's a free mint. No one knew who it was by or anything. And the art was so ugly, but the art at the same time was incredibly detailed and really high quality and actually quite clever in ways. And the website itself was extremely well done and was obviously done by professionals that really knew what they were doing. And that was one of those ones that was like, you have this feeling, this could actually go somewhere. And oftentimes you're wrong, but again, you just don't know. But yeah, the dangerous thing about the free mints is like that's where all the wallet drainers are. So, you know, you can get your entire portfolio and ETH stack drained in one transaction if you do it wrong. You know, minting these free mints with a burner wallet with not too much ETH in there and absolutely no valuable NFTs in there. Like you never want to be connecting another wallet to these kind of things because it just happens so often. It's not a matter of when you'll get drained or when you'll get scammed. If you get scammed, it's when. Like it just happens to everybody, especially if you're dealing with this.
So big lesson here is if you're going down this route, be very careful of having what's called a burner wallet, which is essentially like a separate wallet with no valuable assets in it. So there's nothing to be to be drained. How are you finding these free mint projects?
You have to be in community groups. There are tools out there, but even with all these tools, it's just impossible for you to be across it by yourself. So there's tools like IC Tools and Mobi and DGN Mint, XYZ, NFT Nerds has a mint tracker.
Do you use these, Liam?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But a lot of the time I'm in groups. Like I've got my own group of active traders that we all help each other out. And yeah, like oftentimes we'll be seeing the same thing on these tools and then we'll be chatting in Discord being like, hey, who's seen this just pop up? Yeah, I saw it. What do we think? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and there's other times where they're not popping up on these tools and someone's found something somewhere, whether it's through word of mouth or through scrolling Twitter. Or I always think you need to be in like 3 to 5 different communities to be across everything in the NFT space, especially during like a bull run when so much is happening. It's just impossible to be across it all. And even if you're in those 3 to 5 groups, you'll still miss things because the space moves so fast, it's just lightning fast.
I'm going to come back to the groups because I think that's a really important thing for people to understand. You mentioned a couple of tools, and if there was somebody who doesn't use any tools, there's so many of them popping up at the moment. If there was one or two tools you would, you know, recommend, is there one or two that you find has good features, good benefit, you know, things that are helpful?
I think NFT Nerds is the Rolls Royce of the tool market. It's a Rolls Royce because it's so sleek and so clean and works so well, but you pay for it. It's unbelievably expensive compared to the majority of the tools out there. You're looking at paying 0.4 to 0.5 ETH per 6 months, and it's a subscription, so it's not a token, so you can't use it. And then if you've had enough of it, sell it. And so it's a lot of money if you're not seriously trading. So I always recommend NFT Nerds because I think it's great, but with a pinch of salt because it is expensive and it's not for everybody. So I would definitely recommend that. I'm waiting for a tool to come along that does it better, but we haven't had any yet. There are some promising ones coming. So blur.io actually is a really promising tool that's coming out. It's in beta access only at the moment, and I'm lucky enough to have beta access to it. And yeah, it's really promising, but they are a long way behind still, but they have a kick-ass team and their roadmap is really bullish. So they've got a lot of funding They've got a long runway. Like they could build something pretty special there. So that would be something to look for.
So Blur is coming out soon. Then NFT Nerds is one if you're trading CRC. Is there one that you recommend the most for people who are maybe a bit not as hardcore traders for the more, well, I don't want to say amateur, but...
Yeah, but what are they looking for? Are you looking to just track their portfolios or are they looking at trading? And there's so many tools for so many different areas of this world, you know, so...
I know from my own perspective, I look at all these tools, I almost don't know which ones to use. Which are the most valuable, say, features, do you think, for someone who is wanting to up their game as a trader?
So when you're a trader, you're in the game of buying and selling NFTs. So when you buy an NFT and you're looking to sell it, you need to know what the going price is for the NFT. That's where a tool comes in handy, because the only other way to figure out how to sell it and for what price to sell it for is to go on OpenSea and then kind of manually look around for an NFT that has similar traits to you and then try to see what the others are listed for and then try and find out how much previous ones were sold for. And OpenSea, it's really difficult to find that information. You can find it, but it's really such a manual process and difficult. And the thing with NFTs is like pricing moves so quickly. Like you'll be able to sell something 1 second and then within 90 seconds, if you listed it for the same price, it wouldn't sell. So you need tools that are telling you this data in real time and making it a really easy way to do this stuff. And so, yeah, like a tool like NFT Nerds does all that for you. It does it really seamlessly. But you also want to see like what the floor price is of an NFT and like how that floor price is changing. And so tools like Mobi and IC tools are really common and they're not too expensive. They have these scatter plot charts, which essentially every little dot on the chart indicates a sale. And you can look at these charts and you can kind of see the way like momentum of the sales are going. You can see when sales are ascending, when sales are flatlining or sales are descending. And that can be really handy to know when to sell and what price to list for. The other thing that's really you have to have if you're looking to sell an NFT or trade an NFT in real time is you need to look at listing charts. So there's two types of listing charts. There's like the ladder view and then there's like the Manhattan view. And it's a bit hard to describe it, but essentially it shows you how many NFTs are listed between a certain price range. So if you've got an NFT and you think it's worth 0.1, well, how many are listed at 0.1, between 0.1 and 0.11? And then you correlate that with what the current floor price is and like how likely it is the floor to reach that point and can give you an indication of how likely it is for you to sell at that price. And so if the floor price is 0.09, so it's just under that 0.1 mark, and then there's like 1,000 listed at 0.1. If you're going to be the 1,001st NFT to be listed at 0.1, the chances of that selling are very slim, right? So it might be a lot smarter to list it for just under that sell wall, which is what we call it. So list it for 0.9099, and that will have a tenfold chance of selling. And that can be the difference between you making a profitable trade and you make a big trade for a loss. And it can be like a decimal. And so, yeah, timing and accuracy is really, really important.
It makes complete sense knowing how many people are around the floor price, whether you try and get a little bit more or go for a little bit less. That's super interesting. For something that has a bit more rarity to it, and I'm sure you're selling some of these as well, the floor price, at least you have a bit more of an indicator. How would you choose to sell something that has a bit more rarity attached to it?
So that's where you need a more advanced tool like NFT Nerds, where you can get really advanced data for any kind of rarity trade and look at all previous sales, current listings. Like it's much easier to see that kind of stuff very quickly. But if you don't have that tool, yeah, you have to go onto OpenSea. So if you minted these ducks, whatever they're called, like I'm just using these ducks as an example, but if for some reason you've got a golden duck, that's a little bit more rare, and then you need to go on OpenSea and you need to see, well, how many other golden ducks are there and what has everybody else put them up for sale, like what price at, and have they been selling at that price? And if they've been selling quite quickly at that price, well, maybe they're a little bit undervalued, so maybe you want to list a little bit higher. But if they're all listed for sale and there hasn't been a single sale, then maybe all the golden duck holders are a bit delusional and they're like have overpriced their duck. So maybe you need to be the lowest priced one if you want to sell it. So yeah, there are some nuances to that. Everybody wants the rares when a collection is doing well. The minute it looks like a collection is not doing so well, no one wants to pay premium for a rare. And so it can be, yeah, you can lose a lot of money quite quickly if you're trying to play the rarity game, because if a project starts taking a negative turn, you can be stuck with a JPEG that you've paid a lot more than the floor price for that suddenly is worth the floor. There is a tool called unique.cx, so UNIQ.cx. It is 100% free tool, and it's built by a guy in Zeneca's community. And it does a lot of what I talked about for free. It's still relatively new, so there are some teething problems to it, but it has like sales data and it has like those listing charts. And as far as free tools go, like that's pretty good to be able to at least have something.
And I'll link to those tools, including that free one, in the show notes. So you talked about communities as well, and there's these, say, mastermind groups or community groups of different types, including ones of traders. What happens in one of these groups? For someone who's never been in one, what's going on? I envisage people, you know, with hoodies. Give us a bit of a sight. I remember the first time I got on Discord and I was in one of these, like, not a proper group like yours, but like there's thousands of people just like talking about all these. It just like blew my mind. So what's going on in a trader's community? I presume it's on Discord, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Discord trading community is very much like a normal group chat that you would have with your friends. At least the good ones are. Like that's how a good trading group should operate. And essentially, a lot of the time you are just hanging out like friends and you are talking about sport or music or not even talking about NFTs or Web3. And then out of nowhere, someone might say something and say, hey guys, just came across this, or this is happening now. Or everyone knows that at 11 o'clock, there's a particular drop happening and everyone's just killing time until then. But then once it's about to hit 11, the tone shifts and everyone starts talking about the strategy around, you know, how are we going to mint this? Who's going to mint? How many? Is there going to be a gas wall? What gas settings are you going to set? That sort of stuff. And so, yeah, a lot of the time, it's just a matter of checking into all these groups, seeing what the conversation's about. Are people talking about NFTs or are they talking about movies? If they're talking about movies a lot of the time, I say, see you later. Like, I'll be back, guys, you know.
What I am understanding is you'll check in to see if there's something that you haven't heard about already. If everyone's all of a sudden talking about, you know, no one's talking about the ducks anymore. Everyone's talking about, I don't know, the eggs, whatever it is, right? And then you go, oh, I had not heard of that. So it just gives you more surface area of the market because people will be bringing things in and sharing things. Okay, that makes sense. What are some of the names of these popular groups? Can anyone join them? Do they have to buy a token or do you have to apply to them? How does that work?
Oh, they're so varied. Some are free, some are paid, some are locked by a token, some you have to pay just with a subscription. Some are invite only, like some are just like a group of friends that they don't want anyone else in them because they're just a group of friends hanging out together. There are so many different types and I encourage you to join all those different types because it's really beneficial to be in all of them, really, I think. So some really famous ones within the trading circle itself, MVHQ, Hideout, Underground. That's the three main ones I can think of at the top of my head. There's so many more, but I've just gone blank. They're pretty famous for not only the people inside those groups, there's some pretty famous traders inside those groups. And that's the beauty of the blockchain as well, is the blockchain's all public data and public knowledge. So you can actually see how much money each person makes or loses. And so there's some huge whales in some of those groups, and those groups are known to be pretty smart and pretty onto things. You know, so I've been lucky enough to be in two of those three groups, and they all have different advantages and disadvantages. Some are more organized, some are more like just absolute chaos, and it's all about just making them work. and just helping each other out, really. Everyone's there to try and help each other succeed. So that's the main aim of them.
You mentioned you have your own group as well. Is that something you take applications for? Could you tell me about that a little bit?
It's closed at the moment. I don't think we'll be opening up any applications anytime soon. But if anyone's curious, they can just DM me on Twitter. LiamDNFT is my Twitter handle. It's a really small group. There's only 89 members in there. And the only way you can get in is if someone leaves, because I promised that I'd cap it at 89 members and no one wants to leave. So we're stuck there for now. Before then, this is like a more of an official group, I guess. It's a bit more organized. But before then, like, I had groups with friends, that were unorganized and very consistent, and they were really valuable at times as well. Yeah, so I definitely encourage people to be in as many as possible.
We're currently in what's pretty accepted to be a bear market at the moment. How has that changed how you've been trading?
I mean, even in bear markets, NFTs just change sentiment so quickly. So in the last 7 days, I've made more trades than I have in nearly 2 months. And the reason is the last 7 days have been incredibly bullish for NFTs. Sentiment's been really high. There's been some quality projects dropping. People are spending a lot more in the last 7 days than they have recently. And we don't really know why that is, but it just happens this way.
You say that there's been people spending more, some really quality projects. Could you just give some examples?
Yeah, so Tyler Hobbs just recently paired up with a guy, Dandelion, and they released the QQL project, which is this generative art project. We could probably speak for it. It's not simple to explain, but like a really expensive mint price. One of the NFTs sold for 100 ETH.
Did you get one or?
I didn't actually. And I was actually a bit annoyed at myself. I didn't actually realize that the Dutch auction had a refund mechanism. And so I kind of just thought, oh no, I'll sit out the Dutch auction and maybe buy something on secondary. But now looking back, I was like, oh, how do I actually took the time to read it?
I think that it landed at 14 ETH. Am I right by saying that?
Yeah, that's right. But then minting at about 20 ETH would have been fine because, yeah, you would have got a 6 ETH refund. And yeah, so really interesting. There was a recent project called Kataro that I was lucky enough to, I was really bullish on the artwork. I thought it ticked one of my key boxes personally, which is it looked really good as a profile picture. We know like profile pictures are such an important aspect of NFTs. Sometimes the artwork can be really good, but it can actually look terrible as a profile picture, and that dictates whether people want to use them as their own profile pictures or not. And this project was kind of undervalued. There was a few smart people buying into it early on, and yeah, it passed that test for me. And yeah, that did insanely well, had an insane amount of sales. A lot of people made a lot of money on them. I guess to answer your question is each day, each week, I'm changing on my trading strategy. It's not just we're in a bear market, so we don't trade anymore. It's very much there's always opportunities, and some days more than others, some weeks more than others. It just comes back down to being patient and not trying to force things to happen. And I'm conservative compared to a lot of traders I know. The last 2 months I've been quite quiet, and I've been comfortable doing that with regards to my trading because I'm just sitting back and preferring to wait for the more sure things. And whereas there's been people that have been trading nonstop for like the last 3 months, even though we're in a deep bear market, and that's their style, and they've done really well from it as well. So everyone has their own style.
That's interesting to know and hear that from a bear market. Definitely things have gotten quieter overall, and there's been a few quite famous projects launching, but even on the less famous ones, there's still people trading a lot and doing well out of it. It is really good to hear.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How do you feel personally on, like, I'd imagine anyone who's in this game, as they call it, your bags have gone up and down over the last couple of months. How are you feeling about that, and how do you deal with that? One thing that you kind of see on Twitter and different platforms is memes with, I should have sold it, bro. And of course, and like, I think that as well. I have things that were worth like, 6-7 times more. 2-3 months ago, it's like, for people out there who may be feeling like that, I'd love to know how you kind of work with that or how you process those feelings.
Yeah, well, first of all, if people are struggling out there like that, that sucks. There's just no way of sugarcoating that. Some people have lost a lot of money. It's a really ruthless space. And so with the underlying asset, the currency that's like being used to trade all of these JPEGs is like down 80% in price, it can be really hard to make money during those times. And then the alternative is true is like last year where it skyrocketed it up. Like all you had to do was buy and hold NFTs and you did extremely well. So it's pretty cutthroat. Personally, I was really fortunate that I didn't invest hardly any money. I invested 0.6 ETH and didn't put any other money in there. So I did take profits as well quite aggressively, a little bit too early. Like I was probably like 3 or 4 weeks too early selling a lot of my stuff and still had a lot of room to run. But because I did that, I was relatively unscathed with this huge drop that we've seen in the last 6 months. And when I say relatively, like I think my Moonbird has dropped six figures and then I've got loss. I'm still holding, but like stuff that was worth tens of thousands more than it was. But that's much better just to have lost money on those three or four things and having sold everything else before that kind of happened.
Always better when it's on paper losses.
Yeah, that's right. You asked how I'm kind of feeling about the situation we're in.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're speaking to a lot of people that are going through this. If there's someone who has experienced something like that, what would you say to them?
I'm not a tax agent at all, but selling things for a loss is actually quite beneficial tax-wise for me to offset the gains, especially before the end of the financial year ends, and that obviously changes in every country. Here in Australia, ours is bang on middle of the year. And so I sold a lot of my stuff for a loss just before the end of the financial year so I could secure those losses. And knowing that if I really believe in the project, if I really believe that the price of the NFT would go back up, then I could just buy it back straight away a day later. That was really great exercise for me because a lot of the things I thought I would buy back straight away, I didn't when push came to shove. So that was really eye-opening exercise for me to undertake personally. But I just think that there's this consensus, maybe it's from the Bitcoin communities that you just hold forever. Whereas like you can actually buy and sell the same NFTs in crypto, you know, for tax purposes. And that can actually be quite smart to do that. And then I guess, yeah, the other thing is the NFT space is like shiny object syndrome. Like we are obsessed with like the new thing. It can be really, really difficult for an old project to recapture the amount of hype and romance and froth that it originally had. And that's usually what dictates like floor price. So yeah, you might think that maybe the project that you're holding is a really good project and they've got a really good team, blah, blah, blah. That all may be true, but the chances of the price going back up could be slim. And I've learned that the hard way as well. And that's okay. I prefer to try and play the game that I think is happening, which is people are obsessed with new things. So I will buy and sell new things as opposed to hold old things and hope that they go up.
Are there any projects coming up that you're keeping an eye on that are exciting you at the moment?
I do have to be careful because I don't want to overinflate any project. I tell you what, I don't have any of these like 9GAG or Potatoes or Memeland NFTs. But that whole 9GAG world, it's a big community. It's, you know, it's a very reputable brand. They've got a Genesis collection coming out at some point. So that'll be really interesting to see how that performs.
And that one's called Memeland, isn't it?
Yeah. They've already performed insanely well so far, and that hasn't even been kind of like the main drop yet. Yeah, so that'll be really interesting to see. I'm excited to see the Starbucks loyalty program and see how that gets rolled out. I'm interested in that for sure. That's not an NFT project, but even though it does use NFT technology. But yeah, I'm just interested in brands and new audiences coming into the scene.
If we're having a beer or a glass of wine, whatever your drink is, and we were chatting about something you know that you think that people aren't spending enough attention to, what would it be?
I think I mentioned Blur, the tool earlier on. So Blur are trying to build out a marketplace attached to their tool so you can buy and sell actually on the tool itself. And no tool's ever done that before. And the way they'll be monetizing is through tokenization. So the same way that Looks Rare and X2Y2 are competitors to OpenSea, charge less fees, and then anytime you sell, you get rewarded in the native token of the platform, which is really, that's the way it should be compared to OpenSea, that just take the money themselves, don't reward the users. And so I think Blur combining the tool aspect with the marketplace aspect, if they execute it, could be an absolute game changer. I kind of told myself that it's like if early users of eBay, when eBay first started, like I don't even know, in the 90s or whatever, but if you like sold something on eBay, not only would you get the money from selling the old chair that you've sold on eBay, but eBay actually transferred you a bunch of eBay stock just to say thank you for selling something. That's essentially what Blur is going to do. I find that something that people aren't paying enough attention to. I think LooksRare tried it, but had this wash trading issue. X2Y2 launched on the same day that there was this huge OpenSea hack. And so everyone thought it was X2Y2's fault, and it wasn't. It was just like really unfortunate timing. And then X2Y2 have obviously come under fire with regards to their royalty kind of stance as well. Anyway, yeah, I just think being able to get beta access to eBay and then get rewarded in shares before they go public to eBay just for using the platform would have been a tremendous opportunity. And so if a tool like Blur can achieve what eBay achieved with regards to buying and selling things, you know, I think those early users get rewarded pretty heavily. But they've got a big task ahead of them. Like, marketplaces are hard to crack into, as X2Y2 and LooksRare. Like, we literally pay OpenSea to use it and they still have a monopoly on us. That's how bizarre this world is. No one should be using OpenSea, in my opinion. Like, why are we paying them to just trade NFTs? It doesn't make sense.
Blur seems interesting. I'll definitely check that one out. You come across as quite an entrepreneurial guy. I know you're a marketer as well. And you had something going on in the summer, an expert summit where you brought in expert traders and things to do a educational kind of online event. I know the way entrepreneurial minds happen, there's always some ideas coming through. I'm sure you've got a couple of things you're thinking of building at the moment. Is there anything you can talk about?
You're right. Like, I am entrepreneurial. I stole the summit idea from Web2 summits are really common when you bring in a bunch of speakers. And so, yeah, like for me, the only reason why I was successful in trading is because I learned from all these really smart traders and they kind of took me under their wing and taught me how to trade better. And so for me to put on this summit and bring all these guys in for free that helped teach me, teach others, paid it forward and did it all for free. And it was, yeah, it was a really special event and a heap of fun doing it. Yeah, I want to do it every year. And every year I want to make it bigger and better. I want to get bigger and better speakers. Like, next year I want to get like Gary Vee and stuff on there. Like, I think that'd be awesome. So that's definitely on my mind. And yeah, just ways I guess we can help grow the space and make the space better. I guess that's why I accepted this invitation to take the time to do a podcast like this. Like, I just think, yeah, the more we can help each other, the better this space is long term, and that's going to benefit everybody.
Liam, the Web3 space is pretty fast paced and full on, and it's 24/7, and there's FOMO and there's highs and lows. How do you manage your mental health? I think you've just come back from a surf or something. Maybe, I'm sure you have some routines that, you know, safeguard your mind from all the highs and lows. Could you talk a little bit about what your rituals are?
Geez, I'm plugged into my phone a lot more than I was in Web2, that's for sure. But even though my screen time usage has gone like through the roof since entering Web3, I think it's less about how much time you actually spend plugged in and more about your attitude during it. And so, yeah, being able to zoom out and not let the hard stuff get to you. Like, oh, today, like, I just made a horrible trade. I thought I was sniping a rare. It wasn't even a rare. It was like semi-rare NFT for 0.09 ETH. And it was actually 0.99 ETH. And yeah, I sniped it. And then within like 10 seconds, I realized what I'd done. I'd spent $2,000 on a JPEG that I had no intention of holding anyway. I was just sniping it to resell it within the next couple of minutes. Yeah. And knowing that it was basically worthless, like, I thought I was paying 0.09. So 0.09 should have been $100-ish, $150, $120. And I ended up paying nearly $2,000 for it. And so that hurts when you know that you've spent $2,000 on something that's only worth $100-ish. You know, you're not getting that money back. If you let that stuff get to you, yeah, you can have a really bad time. But having the ability to zoom out and just knowing that mistakes happen and there's nothing I can do about it, just move on and lesson learned. Probably should have paid a bit closer attention to what I was doing. Don't get me wrong, like it really hurt. Like that's the most amount of money I've lost in the space of a couple of minutes ever. But I went for a surf, cleared my head, come back. That's all you can do. So that sort of stuff's going to happen all the time. The pace of this space is, yeah, quite hectic. You just can't take it too seriously. Like, we should be grateful that we're here. We're in this like wild west. Like, it's so much fun. There's so many interesting people and there's so many crazy good conversations that you can have all the time. Yeah, there's just no need to be negative, I don't think. Even if you lose money here and there, it's just part of the admission fee of being early for this opportunity, I think.
That's super great advice. And I think the one lesson there is things will happen. Step away from the computer, take a breath, do a surf, whatever it is for you, go for a run, go for a walk, whatever it might be. And you'll usually come back with a more relaxed and a different way to think about it.
Well, you've got to choose to, because if you choose to let it get to you, yeah, you're not going to survive.
Completely agree. Liam, final question I love to ask everyone is, let's go forward about 5 years. How do you see the metaverse being? Everyone's talking about the metaverse at the moment. What do you think it'll be like in 5 years from now?
To be honest, Discord feels like a metaverse right now. Like, we are in this make-believe world. It's a dark world, right? Because Discord's dark theme. So it's night all the time. You've got all these like animals running around. That's your profile pictures. You've got your own guilds, you know, like teams that you band together and join. And there's an in-game currency, which is like ETH. Yeah, I kind of feel like the metaverse already exists. We're already playing in it. We're playing this game already. There's side quests that you can go on. You can start podcasts. You can do all these things like launch your own projects. Like, yeah, we're kind of already there. I don't know if virtual reality is going to be where we want it to be in 5 years. Maybe it's a bit longer. But yeah, man, I don't know in 5 years. I think we'll look back at a lot of the JPEGs that we're buying and selling right now and feel a bit sick around how worthless they are. But there's going to be some that are going to be go down in history as collector's items. So, but even then, if they go down in history as collector's items, they still could be like 100 times overpriced right now. So who knows? I certainly don't know.
That's true. Hoping that rare one you bought for 0.99 is one of those very, very, very classic new Mona Lisa. Here's hoping.
I made someone very happy today. I guess I'll just think about that. They listed it for 0.9.
That's a very positive way to think about it.
No one's going to buy this and it's insta-sold.
That's a super positive way to think about it. Liam, thanks so much for your time. Where could people check you out online? You're pretty active on Twitter, LiamDNFT. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I've got a YouTube channel as well where I try to do educational videos around trading. And I try to be very open and honest as well. Like, I've got a video on there, all my worst trades and all the money I've lost. And then I do a video where I go through one of my wallets. I've got two videos actually where I go through all of my wallets and I talk about each trade and why I made each trade and which ones were profitable and which ones weren't. And yeah, so I've got some videos on there.
And your expert summit, because you can buy an NFT that gets you access to the recordings.
That's right. The feedback I've got from the summit is that the lessons that they learned from the experts were super, super valuable. And people have made a lot of money from some of the lessons that they've learned from the experts, which really made me happy. And I'm pretty sure, I actually haven't checked the floor price, but I'm pretty sure it's below 0.01. So for less than $10, you can get one of these NFTs and you can get it and then go into the Discord and check out the recordings of all of the speakers. So the NFT acts as a ticket. So essentially, like, the tickets like can't get you in anywhere now, but the ticket opens up a token gated website with the recordings on there. So that's really cool.
For like $10 to $20 equivalent, you get hours of education, you know, training from some of the top traders out there, which I think is a great deal. So looking forward to checking that out. Liam, thanks so much for joining us and have a great one.
Thanks so much.
All right, that's it for this episode. Want to thank you for listening. If you want to get the links and the show notes, just head on over to our website, frontierofthemetaverse.com. And if you like this episode, please do share it with anyone you know interested in all things metaverse. And of course, you can subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. Would be very much appreciated. All right, I'll see you in the next episode.